Good day, beloved children of God. This is Father Ivan Olmo of St. Mary Catholic Church and School. Today we will be reflecting on the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verses 22 to 29. Please join me now in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 men, his disciples saw him walking on the sea. The next day, the crowd that remained across the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not gone along with his disciples in the boat, but only his disciples had left. Other boats came from Tiberias, near the place where they had eaten the bread, when the Lord gave thanks. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him, the Father, God has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in the one he sent." Heavenly Father, we love you. We believe in you. We trust in you. Please, we beg you, open our lips to praise your holy name. Cleanse our minds and our hearts of any worthless evil or distracting thoughts, feelings, or desires. Please, we beg you, give us the wisdom and the love to pray with attention, reverence, and true devotion. Sweet Father, may our prayer be heard in your presence, for it is offered through Christ, your beloved Son, our beloved Lord. Our Lord speaks to our hearts today. He makes it real. He makes it simple. And in all its simplicity, it's just utter beauty. But in that simplicity, we have to comprehend why we can't do the work of the Lord. Our Lord asks us simply to believe in him, to believe in the one that he sent into this world. Jesus was sent not to condemn us, but to save us. And he said to us, we must believe. We must believe in the one that the Father has sent to save us. Because if we don't believe, we cannot have any life within us. Saint Peter reminds us that our faith has a goal. And the goal of our faith is our salvation. We must believe in the one that the Father sent to save us, to redeem us, to bless us, and to forgive us. But if we don't believe in Jesus, as he told all the Pharisees and scribes, believe in the work that he does. Believe in the miracles. Believe in the signs, because no one can work any wonders like this other than God himself. He makes the mute speak. He makes the deaf hear. He gives sight to those who are blind. He heals the brokenhearted. He sets prisoners free. And those in captivity, he brings freedom. Only God can do these things. But as Jesus said so many times to all those who approached him, who heard about his signs and wonders and heard all the wonderful things that he was doing, that he was a great prophet in our midst, who worked wonderful signs, awesome signs, that they would approach Jesus and Jesus would say, I know what you're asking from me. I know it before you even ask it. I know every thought that comes from your heart and from your mind. I know what you want me to do. And all Jesus wanted to know is, do you believe that I can do this? He said. Do you believe that I can do this? Do you have the faith to heal yourself? Jesus even said to us when he went into his own community that he was unable to perform any miracle. Not because he couldn't. We know God is all powerful. With God, all things can be done. Everything is possible for God. But what Jesus was getting at, even if he worked a miracle, even if he healed someone, even if he healed the brokenhearted, that if the people didn't believe, then it would almost make it ineffective, as if it didn't happen because they didn't believe. Jesus wants to know, do you believe in the one that the Father sent? The one who has walked the way of the cross. The one who has laid down his life for us. The one who was mocked and ridiculed and scourged and beaten and profaned and spit at and slapped and beat. That this one who laid down his life for us so that he can transform the consequence of our sinfulness, which is death, that in his love he transformed our death. He ransomed us from eternal damnation and condemnation. He wants to know, do you believe that he suffered and died for you, and that he rose from the dead for you, and that he ascended to the Father and intercedes for you, and that one day he will come back and take us to himself, to our heavenly homeland, where there will be no more crying, where there will be no more dying, where there will be no more illness. There'll simply be joy and eternal peace, where we can praise and worship our Lord in right worship with all the angels and saints for all the rest of our life. Do you believe, my brothers and sisters? Do you believe in who Jesus is? Do you believe in all that he's done for you. It's almost that we have to really go into a spiritual exercise right now to really take some time to contemplate this, because our minds are ever so busy. We're always so worried and so concerned and so preoccupied. We're always so distracted. So much is distracting us. Take a moment to put yourself in sacred silence and listen to these questions. Ponder these questions. They're important. And they're questions that you need to reflect on. To ask yourself, well, what do you believe? And the first question is, who is God? Who is God to you? Who is this being that has created the universe, that has created the heavens and the earth, the one who has given you the breath of life? And then even when you rejected it, he once again recreated you in the waters of baptism. Who is this God? Who is this God to you? Is he so far away in a far distant universe? Somewhere so, so far away, light years away, that he's untouchable to you? He's not present to you in any way. Who is this God? You have to ask yourself, who is God to me? Who is he to me personally and intimately? And the second question we have to ponder on is, what has God done for you? Has he done anything for you? Surely God has done something for you in your life to be thankful for. We must ponder this question. What has he done for you? Think about that. Where would you be without the grace of God? That is, living in the life that God has created for us. What if everything that God created was not accessible to you? What would you have left? Would you even be here? We must ponder that question. What has God done for you personally? And then the third question we must ponder is, why has he done that for you? And we have to really consider this question in the right way, in the honest way. We have to be honest with ourselves, because usually when we do something that's amazing, usually when we do something that has been acknowledge as an amazing feat, whatever it is, whatever we've been successful at, we usually take all the credit, don't we? And whenever there is a defeat, we usually blame that on God. I don't know why God is doing this to me. He must be punishing me. No, we have that in reverse. That whenever we do something amazing, whenever we accomplish something, whenever we win at something, blessed be God. Give God all the thanks and praise, because God has done something amazing in you and through you and with you. Our failures, our defeats, well, we own that, and we should own that. That sometimes we make poor decisions. Sometimes we make decisions and we go at it without asking God for help or for assistance. We don't discern it with him. But when things go wrong, we're so easy to blame him. No. When things go right, God is there. And when things go wrong, God is there to help us, to pick us up, to encourage us, to walk with us, to suffer with us, to cry with us, to be in pain with us. God is there in the good times and in the bad, but we must give him thanks for all that he has done for us. And one of the things that he's done for us is he's given us this gift of faith, this gift to believe. And faith, yes, we know the definition is to believe in things that we cannot see. It takes trust when we consider our faith. But in faith, God is always revealing himself to us. God is always showing himself to us. God is already speaking to us in our faith. And we know what God wants to say to us. God wants to say, I love you. I created you. I want to be with you. I long to be in communion with you. I desire to bring you home back to me. That in faith, God is revealing to us all the ways he has loved us. And ultimately, the cross is the greatest expression of God's love for us and the resurrection. And in the resurrection, we know that Jesus has showed us how much God's love has conquered death for us. That's amazing. That's the gift of faith. But if we don't believe in any way that God has done this for you and for me, then it almost negates the gifts and the effects of grace. And so we must believe in the one that the Father sent to us. We must believe in everything that Jesus has done for us. If we don't, how can we receive these amazing gifts that are supposed to sanctify us and purify us and heal us and rejuvenate us and restore us and renew us and refresh us? That's the gift of the Holy Eucharist. Do we believe? Do we believe in God the Father? Do we believe that he sent his only Son into the world to suffer and die for us and to set us free? Do we believe that he was born of the Virgin Mary? Do we believe in the gift and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit? Do we believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? Do you believe? Saint Peter said, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in his great mercy gave us a new birth and a new living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He said, This inheritance is imperishable, is undefiled, and it's unfading, and it's kept for each of us in heaven, but it is safeguarded through faith. And he says, Even in our life, that we may have to suffer various trials and be tested, but we rejoice in the genuineness of our faith. He says, This is a gift more precious than gold. And although you have not seen Jesus, you love him. And even though you do not see him, you believe in him. And this is our joy. This is the cause of us rejoicing, because you are achieving the goal of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul.